Shall we just pray? Heavenly Father, we pray now that even though all around us there's lots of things happening, you're quiet in our minds and hearts, that we might hear your word, we might understand it, and that we might be more like Jesus as we hear it. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've come to the fifth of the servant songs. It's good to see you all here. Wow. And what a lot of rain there was. So let's hope that God will pour his spirit on us like he's pouring the rain down outside as we listen and think about what he's got to say to us here. I thought we might look at this song slightly differently, maybe. We're going to look at it in three ways. The first way is we're going to look and see what did this mean to those who first heard it or read it back 500 years before Christ. What did it mean to them? Then we're going to look at what did it mean, or what was it like, not what did it mean, but what was it like for Jesus who quoted this in his ministry? Not what did it mean, but what was it like for him? And thirdly, we're going to look at, well, what does that mean and what's it like for us who hear it now? So that's where we're going. Let's hope we get there. Good. So what did the original readers think about this verse? You see, there's some odd person suddenly arrives in and speaks these words in the first person singular, I. So, but that had happened before in the previous songs, if you remember, and I'm going to just quickly refresh your memory. Isaiah 49, 1-6. Listen to me, ye islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he spoke my name. And then 50:4-9, it says, the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Now in today's passage, he proclaims, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me. Who was this person? Someone who is yet to come, they would think, who will announce that day of grace, that day of the Lord's favor. He would announce it when the burden of debt would go, when those held captives would be freed, when the poor and brokenhearted and those blind and those corrupted by sin and corruption will all be freed. The day of the Lord's favor. So that was probably referring to the time of Jubilee. Now, back in Numbers, Moses talked about the time of Jubilee. Now, this was a great time. Think about it. It was a time when, after 50 years, if you had any debt, it would be cancelled. If you'd sold your land because you couldn't afford to live on it anymore, it would be given back to you. Just imagine an economy based on that. Wow. But just imagine how it would feel if you were indebted and you had no land, and suddenly here you are with no debt, living in your own land again. Wouldn't that be an amazing feeling? You know, I'm not so sure, and there's no real evidence of it in the Bible, that they ever got to 50 years. I'm not sure that this day of Jubilee was ever actually done, whether they actually fulfilled that part of the law. There's no evidence to it anyhow. But you know, someone was coming who was going to make it happen. Someone was coming who was going to make it happen through God's Spirit. Now, those in captivity in Babylon would have recognized, I think, that being allowed to go home to Jerusalem and to rebuild the city and the temple was a fulfillment of this prophecy, but not completely. It certainly gave them a sense of freedom and being in their own place. But you know, it wasn't a complete jubilee. Nobody was quite free. A complete mizpah. Have you heard that word before? Have you learnt about that word? Did you not learn what Michael told you about 4 weeks ago? Mizpah. Mizpah is justice and restorative good, making things right. Complete mizpah. Complete justice, complete restorative good, the completely making of things right. That hasn't yet occurred. That was in the first song. But it hasn't really happened on the return of the exiles. You know, they were still under some other form of government. They weren't free. They weren't their own people. Freedom was limited. The bruised reeds were still broken. The good news didn't get very far. But someone was coming who would deliver Mizpah. What a wonderful word. And what a wonderful Messiah that would be. So they were looking forward still to this Messiah. Now he had to come before the day of vengeance of our God, the final day when all the world would come before the judgment seat of God and give account as to how they had helped Mizpah to happen, as to how they had restored justice and good in the world. So those who first heard these words were waiting expectantly for the Messiah to deliver them from all their bondage, so that they could be comforted and not grieve, so that they could rejoice as people crowned with beauty, so that in the face of the world they could stand as oak trees, immovable, a display of God's splendor. How that would make them rejoice. There was a sense of now, they've got some of it, but not yet. It's not all yet here. Now they were delivered from exile, but they were not yet completely free. So that's, I think, what the first people heard of it. So what happened now? We know in Luke's gospel, Jesus quoted these words at the beginning of his ministry, and also when John's disciples came asking him if he was the Messiah or not. So we know that Jesus knew that these verses were referring to the Messiah, that he, Jesus, was and is the Messiah. But if Jesus knew that these verses referred to him, he also knew that the other servant songs must have also referred to him. Not only was he to bind up the brokenhearted and preach good news to the poor and freedom of the prisoners and make the blind to see, and that the day of the Lord's favor was here, but he was also to suffer and to die for the sins of the world, as we saw last week when Margaret spoke to us and shared about the suffering servant. I wonder how he felt as he said those words. He was saying he was the Messiah. He was affirming to them that he was the one whom the Lord had sent. And I wonder how those around him heard those words. He was saying that he was the Messiah. What was their reaction? Well, we read that they said, well, gracious words were coming out of his mouth, but just a minute, whose mouth are they coming out of? Isn't this Joseph's son, the carpenter? You know, we know his mum and dad and his brothers and sisters. How could this lad who was Joseph's son be the Messiah? How could it possibly be true? And Jesus knew their thoughts and that they would be unlikely to be impressed by the fact that the carpenter's son that they knew as a boy, whose mum and dad they knew, they lived around the corner, come on, we know him. How could he possibly be the Messiah? So Jesus adds a bit of spice to the whole thing, and he says, did you know that Elijah, Jewish widows, and he went to a place called Zareph in the region of Sidon. Now that is a Gentile area. And he went to a Gentile woman to look after him. In this way, Jesus was making that suggestion that he, the Messiah, would be the savior of the Gentiles as well as the Jews. That was just too much for these poor folks in Nazareth. So they tried to grab Jesus and take him to a hill and throw him off, but he just walked away. But doesn't that ring a bell? What does it say in those servant songs? He's going to be rejected by his own. Isn't this the start of that rejection? That was coming true. Now, the Gospels are absolutely full of how Jesus fulfilled these verses, aren't they? I mean, the dead were raised, the blind were given sight, the poor had the good news preached to them, the hungry were fed. He just made it so that it was obvious by the things that he was doing, were showing the world, showing those around him, that he was indeed the one sent from God. He was the true Messiah. He had opened the eyes that God was, that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And isn't it going on like that now? Isn't that what he's doing for us here and now? In our own lives, doesn't he continue to fulfill these verses? Have we not had our eyes opened to the truth, that Jesus is indeed the way, the truth, and the life? And does this not fill us with great hope? Have we not been freed from the slavery to Satan to be made free children of God? Isn't that the position we're in? By God's grace alone? Do we not now live in the day of the Lord's favor? That is where we are. We're in the day of the Lord's favor. And it's interesting, you know, when Jesus quoted these verses, he stopped there. He stopped at the day of the Lord's favor. He did not say the day of vengeance of our God, because at that time he had not come to bring God's judgment on the world. No, he'd come to suffer God's judgment on himself, his life around on the cross for us, where he gave his life a ransom for many, for you and for me. And does that not just lead us to be comforted, to be a people crowned with beauty? Let me read again. To comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So we live also in, as it were, the time that is now, but not yet. Now we are God's children, but we are not yet fully free as we live in this fallen world. And we are not yet coming to the time when he will judge all people at the end of time. So, we've looked at what the first people heard. We've looked at how it was for Jesus. So how should it be for you and me? How should we read it? How should we see this for ourselves? You see, we've been called to be like Jesus, our Savior. That is our job now. Now, our job isn't to make money. Our job isn't to retire well. Our job isn't to go and see the world in ships and cruises, etc. That's not our job. That might be our pleasure. It might be what we do, but it's not what we're here for. Our job is to bring Mizpah to the world in the name of Jesus, through his power and the power of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We should not underestimate Jesus, as those chaps in Nazareth did. We shouldn't misunderstand him either. He is the Savior of the world. So what does that look like for us? How can we follow Jesus? I thought I might tell you a couple of stories that might help us to see how that might happen. I'm sure you all remember, don't you, the photograph of the little girl running naked away from the flames with her clothes all burnt off her, her back burnt and her arms burnt. It was a photograph that helped to stop the Vietnam War eventually. So what happened to that little girl? Well, an amazing thing happened to her. So Phan Thai Kim Pak, she was taken and had her burns treated and through 18, 19, hundreds of operations, but she grew up bitter and angry at all that had happened to her through the indiscriminate bombing of Naplan by the South Vietnamese Air Force and the Americans. She was now used by the communist government as a sort of propaganda person. She was suffering pain every day, constantly. She had a terrible time. She was bitter and angry. And then she found a New Testament. Isn't that amazing? She read the New Testament. And the New Testament, from that, she gained faith in Jesus. She became a Christian. And that enabled her to find peace and forgiveness. She was also able to forgive those who had caused her and go on causing her, because she still has constant pain. Let me quote what she says. Forgiveness made me free from hatred. I still have many scars on my body and severe pain most days, but my heart is cleansed. Naplan is very powerful, but faith, forgiveness, and love are much more powerful. We would not have war at all if everyone could learn how to live with true love, hope, and forgiveness. If that little girl in the picture can do it, ask yourself, can you? She's now a Canadian citizen, married, has two children, and she often gives her testimony as how God has taken away the pain and the hurt And so many people in the world are actually shown something of Mizpah, something of God's righteousness. So I want to tell another story, just a little one. In the last train out of Germany, the last Kinder transport, do you know what the Kinder transport was? That's a man organized for trains to take children of Jewish families out of Germany so they would be safe. On the last Kinder transport, there were twin brothers. And they lost all their family back in Germany. But they were taken in by two spinster ladies in England. Two ladies who loved the Lord Jesus. And for Jesus' sake, they brought up those children. They took in those orphans. And they taught those children to love Jesus too. One of those children, Joe Taylor by name, went to become a missionary in Tanzania. And we knew him well. He was like my mentor when I first went there. He's a wonderful man. But Joe also pioneered eye surgery throughout Tanzania and other East African countries. So he literally healed the eyes of the blind as he took out their cataracts. But he also led people to know and love Jesus too. The effects of being like Jesus, we're all like them, are we? We're just ordinary little folks here in Kinkumba. So what does it look like for you and I to proclaim good news to the poor? To bind up the brokenhearted? To proclaim freedom for the captives and release of darkness from the prisoners? To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor? What does it look like? Now, it will be different for each of us, I'm sure. But we are all called to be like Jesus and in his power to show him to the world around us. That world is blinded by many things. It's blinded by materialism. It has no sense of eternal purpose. I mean, you see it on the news or you see it on programs. Oh, no, we're only here for the here and now. There's nothing after this. That's what they say. There's nothing after this. That makes me feel as though there's actually no real reason to be alive now. This is it. I know we say we live in paradise in the Central Coast, and yes, it certainly is a bit like paradise sometimes. But if that's all it is, no, that we live now for the fact that we're going to be with Jesus forever. And our neighbors and friends need to know this. They need to know that there is actually a different way to look at the world than the way they look at it. So let me ask you, do you stand out like an oak tree? Sometimes I think we do a bit, don't we? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Do you wear a garment of praise? One of the great memories I have as a child growing up in Africa, and later on as Jan and I worked in Tanzania, was the great joy and singing that occurred when someone confessed their sins. The Rwanda revival had a lot of good things about it. One of the things was there was a sense of walking in the light. We walked in the light of God, so we had to be pure, and therefore our sins were confessed, and we confessed our sins to one another. And we sensed and were given God's forgiveness for these sins. And when somebody confessed their sins, the rest of the people would get up and start singing. Straight away they would sing and they would clap and they would dance. The great joy at confession of sins forgiven. The wonderful fact that you've become a child of God. You've been accepted as one of his children. It was a wonderful time. Joy overflowed. And those around it were drawn into this group. Instead of drunkenness, they were filled with the Spirit and were full of joy. And this changed people's lives. It changed their relationships. It made their relationships right in families. Men, instead of filling their time drinking beer and becoming drunk, would help their wives with the work that needed to be done. And they would improve. They would become more prosperous because they had their right relationship with God. So righteousness was being done and justice was being done, and it could be seen to be done. There was joy instead of ashes. Are you a miserable sinner? Well, sometimes I'm a bit of a miserable sinner. Sometimes I'm a bit of a miserable old man. I mean, my wife will tell you that, but that's all right. Do we think of ourselves as miserable sinners? No, we are sinners, but no, we're not miserable sinners. We're sinners saved by grace. We're forgiven sinners. God has clothed us. He's adopted us as his children. We have an eternal relationship with him. Our eyes have been opened by Jesus. Our lives are freed from the chains of sin and despair. We're clothed instead in the garment of praise. As we learned in the Revelation passages, we have been given a white robe washed in the blood of the Lamb who was slain for us. We as a church are the bride of Christ, as we learned again in Revelation. We're being made ready for that great and glorious day when he will come back and take us to be with him in an amazing place to be, the new earth. Doesn't that fill you with joy? Isn't that an amazing place to be? So while we're here, we're called to follow him. He who gave his life for us. We're called to give our lives for him. We're called to bind up the brokenhearted. We're called to proclaim good news to the poor, those who see nothing worth doing, nothing. This is just a grind of getting on with earning money, and it's just a grind. No, it's not. We are on our way to be with Jesus forever. We're called to call people out of this darkness into his light. We're called to bring justice and putting all things right. We're called to stand up for justice. And we're called to do that and to stand as God's oaks of splendor. And to stand as the, as it says, the display of his splendor. Isn't that a wonderful word? We are to display the splendor of God. And we're to do that until the day of judgment. Let me pray. Love and serve you. May we be filled with overflowing joy. Help our blind eyes to see your glory. May we stand tall as oak trees, even when buffeted by the cold winds of our godless society. May they see you in us and turn to you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.